Praise God. God is so good.
And the oil stayed. That's the name of the sermon this morning. And the oil stayed. I normally use the New King James Version. It removes the thee and the thous, but it's a very beautiful and good addition. But for reasons particular to wording today, I'm using the original King James Version for this sermon. The scripture you see that we'll have overhead is the King James Version. Our scripture text is found in 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 through 14. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets Elisha, saying, "Thy servant my husband is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen." And Elisha said unto her, "What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house?" And she said, "Thy handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil." Then he said, "Go, borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee, upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full." So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, "Bring me yet a vessel." And he said to her, "There is not a vessel more." And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God. And he said, "Go, sell the oil, pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children on the rest." This is a wonderful story of a miracle of God's provision for the widow of an Old Testament prophet. The reference to her husband as one of the sons of the prophet shows that her husband was well known by Elisha. This phrase, the sons of the prophets, it tended to reference men that were involved in the instruction of the laws of God. And those instructions were given to the folks locally, much like a pastor does today, rather than being an actual prophet, say, like Elisha. So in a way, when you look at this lady's story, this lady was the wife of a deceased pastor. I'll tell you, nobody has to put up with as much as a pastor's wife, especially because she's got to put up with the pastor every day. That loud amen, you can imagine where that came from on the front row. The text in 2 Kings tells us she was a poor widow, that she had children. She was at risk of losing her children to the creditors. Apparently she had no assets, just debts and children. That's a pretty sad story, a sad picture, isn't it? So she came to Elisha, she tells Elijah of her circumstances. And in those days, if debts weren't paid and you have no assets, then children could be taken for up to 7 years as bond servants until the obligations were paid. Can you imagine this woman, this mother's fear? Her husband is now dead. Her children may be taken from her. She has no assets. She's be all alone. I can just imagine her going to Elijah and saying, "Elijah, what am I going to do? Can you help me?" And I'm certain Elisha was a very compassionate man. He looked at this woman and asked her, he said, as we read in Scripture, he said, "Woman, what do you have in your house?" And she told him she had nothing but a pot of oil. Now, we know in the Word of God that oil is one of the symbols of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes the symbol is fire, sometimes it's wind, sometimes it's a dove, and sometimes it's oil. So when she says, "I have nothing but a pot of oil," in reality, what this widow was saying, she was saying, "Elisha, I don't have anything but the Holy Spirit." Hear me this morning. If we have the Holy Spirit, if we have that Holy Spirit power in our lives, then we have all we need. We have all we need. Well, he tells her, he says, you get your children, you go out and you bring in some vessels. When you have those vessels, shut the door, begin to pour out the oil into the vessels. When the vessels are all filled, then set them aside and go and sell it. You can pay your debt. Do you notice in this story, you notice that there is no record of her or her children saying something like this, are you crazy? We have one little pot of oil and you're telling us to gather all these empty vessels and pots? Have you lost your mind? But she didn't say that to the prophet Elisha, did she? She didn't say that at all. In fact, there is no evidence of her complaining or her sons complaining or saying anything like, this is really a dumb, stupid plan. Because on the surface it was, wasn't it? It made no sense. But this widow woman in faith, she did exactly as Elisha had told her, trusting that somehow God would bring a miracle to meet her need. I know this is true for me and it's for you. I hope it is. When we get desperate, we have no one else or no other way to turn to. In that desperation and in that moment of great need, we can find faith. We can find a faith that we didn't realize that we had, that we never dreamed that we would have. And then that faith, we can go to God and with His Word and completely trust Him, what He's trying to do in our lives, what He's directing us to do. So the Bible says they brought in all the empty vessels, they closed the door, they filled them with oil, and it just kept pouring and pouring. She poured the oil from her only little pot that she had into those big empty vessels, and it just kept coming. Now, can't you just imagine at some point that her and those two sons had a shouting hallelujah time behind those closed doors as they realized that a miracle was happening right in front of their eyes and that their needs were going to be met and those two boys weren't going to be taken as bond servants. And at the end of all that pouring, and they filled that last vessel, and the Bible says, the Word says, and the oil stayed. And the oil stayed. What does that mean? It means that that pot of oil, that initial pot of oil, never ran dry. There was oil no matter how many vessels were filled. The original pot of oil was there. The oil stayed. This morning, I'm going to tell you, the Holy Spirit is still here. The Holy Spirit has stayed, so to speak, and He is just as powerful today as He was on the day of Pentecost. He is still here. He is still here to fill us, to empower us for His service, so that we can, under the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, be a bold witness for our Savior, Jesus Christ. The difference between us today and those in that early church in Jerusalem, the difference isn't God. The difference isn't the Holy Spirit. The difference is us. It's us. The Bible says, and the oil stayed. The oil stayed. You understand what I'm saying today? The Holy Spirit is here. He's always been here. He's not moved away. We've doubted. We've come to the conclusion, well, I've got this all figured out, Lord. I've got this. You know, you think about it, the difference in our preaching and the preaching of the Apostle Paul or the preaching of Peter on the day of Pentecost or Stephen under the anointing of the Holy Spirit and other great preachers like Moody and Smith Wigglesworth and Billy Graham, the difference is not God, it's us. And the oil stayed according to the Word of God. The original old used vessel is still full of oil. And it is ready to be poured out into empty vessels that come to the Lord for His filling, for His anointing, and for His touch by His Spirit. Let's take a look this morning at the three vessels that are mentioned in the story. The first one is borrowed vessels. And he said, go borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors. The mighty workmen of God in the past have been workmen that have worked with the borrowed vessel of the Holy Spirit. For example, in Zechariah 4 and 5, the Bible says it is not of might or of power, what does it say? But of thy spirit, saith the Lord. And then in 2 Corinthians 4 and 7, Paul said, for we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Listen, if you're going to do God's work, we must do it God's way. And it has to come through the borrowed vessel of the Holy Spirit, so to speak. We've got to forget about numbers and records and get on our faces before God and cry out to Him and cry out to our Lord and say, Father, wake us up. Father, help us. Ignite my spirit in me. Fill me one more time. It is our hope. It's the hope of the day that God would touch us once again with the fresh anointing and a fresh filling of His Holy Spirit. In the 11th chapter of Luke's gospel, Jesus tells it one night at midnight. He tells the story. It's midnight. And a friend came and began to knock on the door of another friend's house. I don't know about you, but somebody's knocking on my door at midnight, it better be another friend. But it says, a friend came to begin to knock on his door at midnight, and the friend is saying, wake up, give me some bread. A visitor has come to my house unexpectedly. I have nothing to feed him. Let me borrow some of your bread. And the Bible says his friend, who had already gone to sleep, he wakes up and he says, don't trouble me. It's late. The kids and my wife and I, we're already in beds. Come see me tomorrow. But the friend doesn't give up. The friend just keeps knocking and asking. He keeps knocking and asking. He won't go away until finally that man that's in his warm bed gets up because of the persistence of his friend that keeps knocking at the door. He gets up and gives him as much bread as he needs. And here's the lesson. Jesus tells us the lesson. It's in that 13th verse of the 11th chapter of Luke. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give what? The Holy Spirit to those who ask for Him. You notice it's Him. It's not it. It's the person of the Holy Spirit. I tell you, you can trust in education and you'll get what education can give you. You can trust in promotion and self-effort. You'll get what self-effort and promotion can give you. But when you trust in the Holy Spirit, you get what God can pour into your heart and pour into your life. Oh, God, give us the borrowed vessel today, the filling and the power of His Holy Spirit. His Word of God reminds us again and again of the promises in Acts 1 and 4. Wait for the promise of the Father. Acts 1 and 5, for John truly baptized with water, but you should be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Acts 2 and 4, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Acts 1 and 8, and you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Acts 2, 38 and 39, repent. We started with this today, didn't we? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, which is given to you and your children and to them which are far off, even to as many as are called by our God. Oh, to be filled and baptized in the Holy Spirit is the birthright of every born-again believer. In Ephesians 5 and 18, Paul said, be not drunk with wine, which is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Getting that borrowed vessel, being filled with the Holy Spirit, is our need individually and for the church at this very hour today. Once there was an old country preacher in Georgia, And he'd had the opportunity to go to London, England. And he had always wanted to see Wesley's Chapel, which he had heard about. Well, finally the day came. He walked into Wesley's Chapel. He stood behind the pulpit in that ancient chapel. And he began to think about all the great crowds and all the great revivals that had happened in that church. He began to think about the hundreds and thousands of souls that had been saved by preaching from that pulpit in that church. And as he stood there thinking about it, tears began to roll down that rugged, wind and sun-dried face. And he was just broken in his spirit. He began to pray. And he bowed his head and he cried out, "Lord, do it again. Lord, do it again." That's our prayer today. That should be our prayer today. Lord, do it again. Give us that borrowed vessel, the power of the Holy Spirit to get the work done that's before us. We need His power. We need the Holy Spirit filling us and anointing us and giving us that additional initiative and ability that's not on our own, but by the anointing of God. Second, the second vessel that's referenced in the story is an empty vessel. In verse 3 it says, "Then he said, go borrow the vessels of thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few." So Elisha is telling the widow to get borrowed empty vessels. Hear me this morning. God is not going to pour out His Spirit into vessels that are already full. Amen? He can't do that. Look at this scripture with me in 2 Corinthians 6:17. Paul said, "Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." Oh, how we need to empty ourselves of our plans, of our ideals, our ambitions, all of our thinking, to empty ourselves of all of that so that He can take control of our lives. We have to be an empty vessel to be used by God for the service of our Lord. In Judges 14 and 6, Scripture tells us about the account of Samson and his encounter with a roaring lion. The Scripture says the Spirit, that's the key right there, is it? It says, "The Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would a kid, and he had nothing in his hand." So Samson tore that massive lion apart as if it was a baby goat. That's what that reference is to a kid. Tore it apart as if it was a baby goat, not under his strength, but under the power of the Spirit of God. And the verse tells us he had nothing in his hand. I know this. If I came across a massive roaring lion, I want to have the biggest, most high-powered rifle I could get into my hands. Nothing in your hand. We're defeated. Let me put this up here. We're defeated when we try to fight the devil with the weapons of this world. We're defeated if we're going to try to fight the devil on our own initiative or our own understanding or our own abilities. Please hear this. We must be empty. We must be an empty vessel and bring other empty vessels with us to the Lord. We must be empty of our plans, our things of the world that takes up so much of our minds and our hearts. Being empty of all those things so that we can be filled with the Spirit of God, His Holy Spirit. In the old days, if a preacher was going to church, of course he had to get on his horse and ride his horse to the place where he would go to preach. One day a preacher got on his horse to go to church early that morning, and the horse wouldn't go. So the preacher kicked him a little bit, and the horse still wouldn't go. So he kicked him a little bit harder, and the horse still wouldn't go. So finally, the preacher took his feet out of the stirrups where he could really get his feet out there, and he kicked that horse just as hard as he could. And when he did, the horse began to buck. And one of the back hooves of the horse got caught up in that empty stirrup. And the old preacher looked down at that horse and he said, "Mr. Horse, if you're getting on, I'm getting off." And he jumped off that horse. That's the way it is with the power of God and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is saying to us, when the world comes in, I'm going out. Are you hearing me? When the world's getting on, I'm going out. We must empty ourselves of the things of the world, our desires, our plans and ambitions, our comforts, our own thinking. We must die to ourselves and present to God an empty vessel desiring to be filled by His Holy Spirit. The third vessel, the last vessel we look at today, is the full vessel. The Bible says the widow took her two sons and they took all those borrowed empty vessels and took them into the house and they shut the door. That's what Elisha told them to do, go in the house and shut the door. There was nothing there but her and her two sons, a pot of oil, and a house full of empty borrowed vessels. By the way, shutting the door, it's no accident that Elisha told her to shut the door. Because it's a reminder in our own lives that shutting the door is a way of removing all the distractions, all the junk in our mind that we're just thinking about and dwelling on. To remove all the distractions and stay focused on the very thing that God wants us to do. What God has instructed through His prophet Elisha for this woman to do. Her sons kept bringing the empty vessels, and they finally tell her, "Mom, there's not another empty vessel anywhere in the house. Every vessel is full." And the Bible says, and the oil stayed. And the oil stayed. Praise God. The oil of the Holy Spirit has stayed. The oil of the Holy Spirit is here and ready to fill empty vessels for God's use. To be anointed and touched and filled by the power of God's Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can fill every nook and corner of your life, and the best is still yet to come when He does that. In Ephesians 1 and 2, Paul said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Did you hear that word today? God has blessed you and me with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The same spiritual blessings that were enjoyed by the saints of old are for you and for me today. All the blessings, all the fullness of the Holy Spirit are for us today. We can be full vessels. Sadly, so many Christians live and die in spiritual poverty because all of the riches of His Holy Spirit are available, but we've never surrendered ourselves and emptied of ourselves to receive those blessings. There was a little old lady that lived all alone, and she was very poverty-stricken. One day her pastor came by to see her so he could help her with her needs. And she said, "Pastor, it's okay, I'm all right." But he could see that she was in great need. There wasn't any food or much money in the house, and she could barely make ends meet. So he said to her, "Do you have any food?" And she replied, she said, "Pastor, really, I'm all right." And the pastor asked her, he said, "Well, do you have any children?" And she said, "Yes." She says, "I have a son, and he lives in South America. But he never writes, and I never hear from him. He just sends me these little worthless green pieces of thin cardboard each month. They have no value. They don't help me at all." And the pastor said, "Have you still got any of those little green pieces of cardboard? I'd like to see one if you have one." And she says, "Sure, I still have all of them. In fact, I've papered my whole back wall with them, and part of the ceiling has been papered with them as well." And the lady took the pastor into the back room and showed the pastor how she had papered all of those little green cards on all the wall and the ceiling of that room. The pastor looked at all of them and he said, "Lady, the things that you've been receiving from your son all these months that you've got stuck against the wall in the ceiling are U.S. savings bonds. You're rich and you don't know it." The lady was living in poverty and she could have been living in wealth. I tell you, God's people are living poverty-stricken lives, spiritually speaking. Are you listening this morning? Is the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart this morning? God's people are living poverty-stricken lives, spiritually speaking, when they could have the power and the filling and the presence of the Holy Spirit and the anointing filling them every single day with the riches of blessings we could ever imagine. Would you please stand with me this morning? Brother Mike, would you go over to the pen and help us out in just a minute? Let me propose a question to all of you this morning. Wouldn't you like a fresh touch from the Lord this morning? Wouldn't you like to be a full vessel? Wouldn't you like to empty yourself of all the stuff that occupies our minds and our hearts, all the stuff of the world that keeps you anxious and uneasy and concerned about things? Wouldn't you like to just get rid of all of that and empty yourself and let the Holy Spirit just fill you and anoint you and touch you and let you just be reminded of the power of God by His Holy Spirit to anoint and to bless each of us? I tell you, on the authority of the Word of God, I'm saying that the filling, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it can be as real to you and as powerful as it was in the New Testament, as it was in the lives of the great leaders of the New Testament church. All you have to do is bring your empty vessel and let God fill it. A widow of the prophet of the man of God asked for help, didn't she? She says, I'm desperate. I've got to have help. And she received more than she could ever have imagined because the oil kept flowing. Because the Bible says, and the oil stayed. The oil stayed. The oil of the Holy Spirit is in this place today. He is ready to fill and touch and bless every empty vessel that would step out and say, "Fill me, Father. Give me a fresh anointing. Give me a fresh touch today. I need the power of the Holy Spirit in my life right now." If the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart this morning, I challenge you, just step out from where you're standing. Step and come forward to the front of this church. Kneel in these altars. You can remain standing if you can't kneel. But come and step out to the front of this church and let us together in faith lift our arms and our hearts to God as an empty vessel and receive this morning what God has for you and for me. Would you do that right now? Step out right now and come.